Pray with me, church. Lord, we're just grateful that we get to be together, to do what the church has been doing for 2,000 years, that is to gather around your teaching, your fellowship with your people, to break bread together through sweet pastry treats, Lord, and to pray together and to pray for one another. And I pray, Lord, as we continue this act of worship, that we would continue to do those things, deepen in those things, and in the deepening of those things to discover more about you, the main thing to everything. And so we just pray that as we gather to worship you, that we'd grow closer to you and grow closer to one another. In Jesus' name. And as people said, amen. You beat me to it, kiddos. Good job. You may be seated. You may be seated. At this time, we are going to dismiss our wee worshipers and our nursery children. They're going to meet in the back. They'll be in the fellowship hall period. Mrs. Jump is in the back of the room for anyone that would be preschool on down through. Those popsicle sticks should have permeated much of the way through. We also have an offering basket that would be on that table as you're entering. We're going to take that out halfway through the service. And so if you have an offering today, if when you're breaking into your groups, if you could just place that in that basket, that would be helpful for us. What we're going to do is going to get a little messy in just a moment. Everyone with popsicle sticks, be prepared. We're going to break into some small group discussions there. I will repeat this in a moment, but just so you know, if your popsicle stick says number one, you are going to be kind of in this region. Two, this region. Three, this region. Four, that region. And it's going to be the exact same, only further back for five, six, seven, eight. No one should have a popsicle stick that's higher than eight, okay? And if you don't have a popsicle stick, we are going to give you free choice to kind of fill in to whichever group might need a couple more fill-ins. And so we're going to go there in just a moment. Here's some opening words before we get in that direction first. Next Sunday will be the start of our new staff member. Jim Shelley, a couple weeks back, had notified us on behalf of the SPRC and the Ad Council that our church has hired a new pastor to be added on staff. This would be Brad Andrus, who would be, as a title, Pastor of Community Outreach. Hopefully those of you that were at the Christmas Eve service, you got to see the Andrus family. They lit the Advent wreath as a part of those Christmas Eve festivities. His start date is going to be January 1st, which is a holiday. So effectively January 2nd is the time that you're going to see Brad Andrus regularly at the church there. He is here today. And so if you see him, feel free to introduce yourself to him. He joins us with his family. Brad would be pictured here, his wife, Carly, and their three children, Galilee, Anchor, and Ari, in the center there. And so all the Andrus family, we extend that welcome to them, starting January 2nd officially, but already in the life of the congregation in many different ways. So reach out, congratulate them, as well as introduce yourself to them, and there'll be ways to do that further. I point all this out to say next Sunday will be a grand opportunity to meet him as a part of the service as well. And so come back next Sunday and get to hear more about the Andrus family and where their heart is aligned and what we're doing together in ministry of this church together. This week, though, we want to take some time to outline some godly goals, just a couple days away from New Year's Eve. And if you know this preacher man, you know either this Sunday or the first Sunday of a new year, we often gather around some godly goals. I do this for a variety of reasons. One, I like goals. Goal-centered kind of an individual, but as a kid growing up in church, we had a pastor that regularly, annually, around the new year, he would either preach a sermon series or a single sermon where he would outline some godly goals for his congregation to follow. And my life was changed by those. I remember sitting through a sermon and not just sitting through a sermon at a point in my life, but actually hearing a sermon. Like, it just didn't go in one ear and out the other. It somehow trickled down to the heart. When I was 12 years old, going on 13, and one of those sermons was a godly goals where our pastor from the church that we grew up in, he told the congregation, read the Bible from cover to cover. Do it. Make that your New Year's resolution, your godly goal. Read it from cover to cover. And as a 12-year-old kid, I thought that book was the thickest book in the entire world. didn't think it could be done, but I was a kid that kind of liked challenges, was wondering what was in that book there. And so I just took that godly goal for that year. Let's try it. Let's see what happens. And if we don't finish it, it's like every other New Year's resolution, right? I found out in the reading of that book, though, at a young age, that that book knew me, that that book challenged me, that that book genuinely changed me. And so I said from that kind of just impact as a young kid that if ever I got the privilege to pastor people, I would ruin their life yearly by doing a godly goals sermon such as that, just as a tribute. And so the goals change from year to year, but in this year you're going to find out we're going to help one another out with these godly goals in discussion. The goals change, but the intent is always, how do I love God and love people better? Isn't that what Jesus said life's all about? It's really simple. It gets played out in many different arenas, but life is all about, how do I love God and love people? And so godly goals are to help us, that fitness side of things, to strengthen us in the loving God and loving people better. And so usually around this time of the year, I throw out verses to you, kind of like this one. Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise both for the present life and for the life to come. This is a seasoned saint, Paul, writing to someone young in the faith, Timothy, and he tells young Timothy, he's trying to mentor him along in the faith, lead him on this journey of what it means to follow Jesus. Paul says to Timothy, train yourself to be godly. Now, don't hear me wrong. Salvation by God is all the work of God. There's nothing that we can do to be made right with God. He's done it all. Like, we can't pay anything. He's paid it all. That's what grace is. So don't hear me wrong. Justification, this being made right with God, it's all been done by God. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a part to play in this journey of deepening with God. That's the work of what theologians call sanctification. Justification, being made right with God, is all the work of God. He paid it all. But sanctification, this is living out what he has lived into us. That is our working to do. And we won't discover the depth of a walk with God unless we're training ourselves to be godly. That is putting ourselves in a posture, pumping some iron in faith that helps us in our fitness and our walk in this journey with Jesus. Physical training is of some value. I hope at this time of the year, as everyone's tossing out New Year's resolutions and diet and exercise and health is always up top of the New Year's resolution, those are important things. Physical training is of some value. We hear about it from doctors and medical professionals and mental health. I mean, this is good stuff. Physical health, some value. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Like, I don't care how much blueberries or broccoli you eat. You're still going to be shoved in a box someday, correct? You've heard this one before from me, right? Physical training, it is of good. On this side of eternity, and by all means, get a rec membership and use it, right? Buy a treadmill and run on it. There's value to this. But eventually, you're going in a box. And there's only one that has an answer beyond the box, beyond the grave. Have you trained that muscle? Have you ever gone in that direction of pursuing your maker in this? And so physical training, some value. Godliness has value in both this life and the life to come. Don't forget to flex that faith muscle as you're on this journey of life too. There's another verse I'd like to toss out at this time of the year. It comes from Philippians. Once again, Paul wrote it. He says, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you to give you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You're to work hard. You've got a role to play in this walk in relationship with God, and it's as response to what God is already working in you. He helps you in this journey. Christianity is never pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you just try better and do better. It's always the work of God that helps us and facilitates us and moves in us to move in a direction that is better, ultimately. It's a partnership. That's why Christians call it the great co-mission. It's a we do this mission together, God working in us and through us to lead us upwards to him. You catching this? We work hard, he's working in, enabling us to work hard with him. It comes full circle in this journey with Jesus. Yet again, our word of the year this year, Matthew 6:33. We're going to talk about this further in 3 weeks. Next week will be a Q&A with Brad. The week after this, we'll be reviewing our word of the year for 2024, and it was this. But seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I'm going to rehash that in a couple weeks. I just want to say for today's point, seeking takes effort, correct? Seeking takes work. Our word of the year was to move in a direction, not just to stay stagnant in our walk with God. And it's to take prime priority in our life, to seek first, to put this priority above any other priority was our mission and our mantra for 2024. And so this is going to take some effort. What I want to encourage you, as I often do at this time of the year, is put forth the effort, the time, the work to grow in your walk with God. It's important. Not just for eternity, but it helps you on earth. And when you're shoved in a box, you're going to want eternity entrenched in you, correct? This is important stuff. This is eternal stuff. This pursuit of God, this growing in our walk in relationship with Jesus, this deepening in relationships and learning how to forgive and how to do better people person-wise for these people that God created. Like, this stuff matters. And so we're going to talk for the next 30 minutes about things that matter as we're going to help one another in this journey with Jesus. So you ready to reshift for a moment? Yeah. Group one, group two, group three, group four, group five, group six, group seven, group eight. Try to swim upstream, downstream, any stream, finding the group on your popsicle stick. You got 30 seconds to do it. You can circle chairs and move chairs, however you can group up with your groupies. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. We realize groups are like just too big to be loud in small settings there. My apologies with that. We would do some things differently building-wise there. I think build bigger if we had to do over again there. But it's good to have all of us together in one laid-back service for fellowshipping and for sharpening one another in this journey with Jesus of iron sharpening iron. So what we're going to do for the next 20 to 25 minutes is we're going to share some pointers on this journey with Jesus and some things that we can help one another out. If you feel a little uneasy, anxiety, it's okay. You're an introvert, and this is an extrovert setting. Just sit and listen for a little bit, but if you have something to contribute, please take the green light and contribute it, because iron does sharpen iron. We do need one another's perspective and push in this journey with Jesus. And so we're going to talk about some things, our walk with God and New Year's resolution that will grow us in our walk with God. This first question, it's a deeper question. Go all in on this question, okay? What is one thing that helped lead you closer to God that you've discovered in your personal walk with God? I'm asking with this question to be specific. Is there something in your journey with Jesus that really has helped you discover more about Jesus or felt closer to Jesus or maybe frustrated you in some ways with this journey with Jesus? Share this in a group and be specific in this. Maybe there's someone in the circle that really needs your help and your perspective for what they're staring down in this year together. If this journey with Jesus is a new thing, and you don't have this thing at this point, there's no shame in sitting and listening to other people's spiritual journey with this. But I do want to invite you to share up. I shared at the start of the service, one of the things that specifically has helped me in this journey with Jesus is God's word and reading God's word regularly from cover to cover. That's not the only way to study God's word. That's not the only helpful resource to get us into God's word. And so maybe you've got something different that has helped you feast on that book. Share that. Maybe some of you would say prayer. Don't just go general prayer. What does prayer look like for you? Is it a morning thing? Is it an evening thing? Do you have to move to pray? Do you have to write to pray? Or can you just close your eyes, bow your head, and pray? What do you do when the prayer seems stagnant and just prayers on repeat? Like, how do you work through those things in your spiritual journey? You seeing this? Like, what has genuinely helped you grow closer to God, and what's frustrated you somewhat in this journey with Jesus? Share that. And don't dominate the circle, okay? Extroverts. There's one of you in every group that just wants to take the full 10 minutes when there's 20 of you that are on this journey with Jesus together, and we need to sharpen one another in this. So don't let one person just dominate the dialogue. Take 20 seconds, share your piece, and then pass it to someone else in the group to share their piece. We're going to give you 10 minutes on this one. Not all of them will be this long, but take 10 minutes on this one because this is an important one to help grow us in our walk with God. You're on the clock. Go. Let's bring it back together as a big group. What I want you to do in each and every individual group is select the person that talked the longest, and they become your group's spokesperson, okay? So each group, find out which person spoke the longest. That person becomes your group's spokesperson. We'll give you 10 seconds to determine that as a group. Who wants to speak as the group spokesperson? We've been talking in our individual circles. What I need that group spokesperson to do is to think about a highlight, like 20 seconds or less of something that came out of, bubbled out of your group that was a good idea that every group needs to know about, okay? So think of a group highlight of something that really sharpened someone in their walk with God that was interesting, and we're going to share that at a big group time at this time. So everyone's got a group spokesperson? Group spokesperson has thought very quickly on what might be a group highlight. And we're going to start with number one, as always, huh? Number one, is there something that came out of this group that every group should just know about? Group one talks about getting involved. Like, apparently church isn't just pew sitting in group one, huh? You don't just come to sit in a pew the entire, that's not what church is. To throw your hat in the ring in other arenas, and specifically how music helps awaken us to some things in our walk with God. That whole book in the middle of the Bible called Psalms is a music book merged with prayers that covers the entire gamut of the human emotion that deepens us in our walk and relationship with God. So music and the importance of that, triggering us and stirring us into some things of God. Good. Group two, anything to add to that mix? Miss Audrey?
We talked about how worship music you can use anywhere, even in our busy lives, like whether you're going to work, school, on your way home from something. We think that music is a big part of growing in your relationship with Christ, and it can be an easy way to just pray to God and speak to Him while you're just in your busy life. And then also, we talked about having apps on your phone because we use them daily. And so even just like little notifications or a 5-minute video you can watch about different stories.
Harnessing the apps of the phone that awaken us to some things in our walk with God, and specifically music bubbling out of group two. Audrey says we don't even have to find like 2 extra hours in every day to do this walk with God thing. Like, you don't need 26 hours. You get 24 hours in a day, but how to be aware of that time in those 24 hours, in the car, commuting to work or to school or things like that, to trigger those into some walk with God. So good, group two, good, thank you. Group three, anything bubble out of that group that all the groups should know? Yeah, yeah. What do you sometimes talk to God about? Prayer is an important thing, but how do you know what to talk to God about? Sometimes lists can help us realize that we're moving somewhere and aware of something in our communication with God rather than just, I just blanked out. I don't know what to say, and I'm supposed to be praying, and I'm frustrated by it right now. A list can help guide our prayers. Coupling that with maybe the Psalms and how, as we're reading through the Psalms, something in that psalm might jump out that we're going through that is our list. We're praying Scripture in that way through it. So good, group three, good. Group four, anything bubble out of this group? Cheryl mentions just an awareness of what's going on around us. As she said, opening up our ears, but just to be alert to what's going on in people's lives around us might clue us into what God's stirring in us and how he's moving through us to impact this world for the kingdom's sake. So good, good. Other groups, we're not going to go individual for this one. You're going to have your chance for this next one. But is there something just so pressing in your group that everyone needs to know about that hasn't been covered by those first four groups? Anyone in none of these groups? Yes, group five.
A lot of them suggested that following your suggestions are good.
Did you hear this one? Can you say that again, Jamie, maybe, for everyone's?
I'll say it again. When you pressed them to read the Bible, that choice then to follow and to do that led them in places. And then the pairing of the reading of the Bible with the watching of the chosen brought the Bible to life for many of them. And then we all mentioned songs and prayer and things like that that everyone else has mentioned.
Yes, nope. The Bible is mentioned in group number five, and the Bible is our book. Jesus' own words said, man will not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Like, we are going to be spiritually malnourished if we're not in this book in some way. I'm a reader. I like to read. Not everyone likes to do that, though. We need the book, but not all of us are readers, and so how do we get in the book? There's different ways to get in the book. You realize through so much of church history, they were illiterate societies. You would gather to worship because hopefully someone in your church could read, and so you were an oral learner. Someone would read Scripture, and you listened to it. Maybe that's the Bible app. The apps read for us. We don't get into reading ourselves. We struggle with the words, but there's other ways to listen orally that help us in this journey to get in that book as well. But need to be in that book for our spiritual nourishment with that in mind. Good. Anything in group 6, 7, 8 that we would need to hear? I mean, Jamie covered it all, right? With what she said. That was good. That was good, Jamie. Yes, Dottie. Lead by example, Dottie says. Practicing what you're preaching. Had a book loaned to me by someone not in our church family, just in the community, and it was on different characteristics of leadership. And what the book keeps going back around to time after time after time again is character, integrity matters, which is very much practice what you preach. Walk what you talk, right? The importance of a lifestyle behind what you're learning in this journey with God really does matter. So good. Thank you. Let's go to question number two. Not going to give you quite as long on this one, but this is that next step forward. You've heard from your groups what helps someone else out on their journey with Jesus. This question is, what is one thing that you want to commit to do to help you grow closer to your walk with God in 2025? Maybe you've heard it bubble out of this group. Maybe it's something you've nudged towards. Maybe you haven't thought about it at all until this question popped on the screen, and that's part of the point of this too, huh? You've got how many days till New Year's? We want to do something in this new year ahead that God's given us to grow us closer to him. And so what would that one thing be? What would you commit to? A small step that would be a step that leads you somewhere further and deeper in your walk with God. Talk about that in your group for a couple minutes. What's one thing you want to commit to do in 2025 to grow you in your relationship with God? 6 and 7 and 8's turn. If there was something that percolated out of your group to share to the bigger group, we'd like to hear from you. A different idea, prayer, Bible study, serving others, practicing solitude. All these are meaningful in our walk with God. Was there something specific in these spiritual disciplines that were thought-provoking or would be good for the whole group to know and to throw that to the hat for them to practice as well? Anything that came out of group 5, 6, 7, and 8 to share with the larger group with that in mind? We'll start with group 5. any practice that was committed to that was, hey, this is different. This is a direction that, that maybe some in the bigger group need to hear. Jamie?
From a couple of our group, choose a word of the year and try and find that word or seek that word as they go through, and a few others in the group who haven't done that are interested in doing that.
So a personal kind of word of the year. We do a church word of the year each year, but selecting one as an individual person for a word of the year. Little plug, 3 weeks away, new word of the year. January 19th, I believe, is that Sunday. January 12th, we'll review Seek First. January 19th, we'll reveal the new one. Dun, dun, dun. Personal word of the year from group five. What about group six? Any practice we want to toss out to the bigger group? Mom knows one. Thank you, Clover. We're expecting big things here, Tanya. Let's hear it. Sometimes the phone can be distracting. Sometimes the phone can be used for good. Sometimes the phone can be used for evil, and to be aware of that. To be still, the scripture says, and know that I am God. There's something sometimes about that stillness that we don't always have when the phone's giving us the notifications, right? Or that email that's waiting for the reply. Or brother just called from Albuquerque. Who knows what he needs, right? I don't have a brother in Albuquerque. That's someone else, okay? Group seven, what would you say for the larger group?
We said prioritizing devotionals and Christian-based books, even if
we
don't love reading.
So prioritizing devotionals, Christian literature, even if we don't enjoy reading, just to make that a priority in our life can be helpful. There are good books, and then there's the God book, right? Prioritizing some things that will help us in our walk with God rather than just any book that could be out there. I won't go there. Okay. We've got a sermon series next year on books there. Children's books tying us into the God book. Something to look forward to in 2025. It'll merge the two together, Andrea. Good. Group eight.
Well, that would be in different ways we decided we all need to create new habits to focus on dedication. Some of us learn better by reading, some by listening. Finding new apps for our phones if we're into doing that, or radio stations, just finding ways to reaffirm a daily dedication.
Forming habits that are daily habits are important, leading in directions, huh? Isn't that true for our physical wellness too? How many days does it take to practice something before it becomes entrenched in you? I don't remember that figure, but it's quite a few, right? Habits are the deep grooves that we cut in life that lead us places. And so as we form habits that are cutting us and grooving us closer to our walk with God, we're finding ourselves drifting more and more in that direction, which is the direction we want to go in. So habits matter. Habits, good. Anything in those first four groups that was not added by these last four groups that every group needs to know before we get into our last question? Somebody said Chick-fil-A. That might be an answer. Carlo's got one.
I thought Shelley had a good point, and a couple other people mimicked it, was talk more about our faith to strangers, like you always tell us to.
To talk more about our faith, to put ourselves out there in the uncomfortable can help sharpen us. I used to have this German teacher in high school that made us teach the class. Frau Schmidt was her name, and she didn't do it out of laziness. She was a very great teacher, but there would be certain times in the teaching of German where she would assign us and break us into groups, and as a group we had to teach the class. And what Frau always said is, the teachers are the one in the room that know the most because they have to teach it. You have to learn it at a different level when you want to teach something, correct? All the teachers said amen? You just got to deal with something differently when you got to teach something to different people. Maybe that's part of the thing that keeps us from growing in our faith, is we're always waiting to be spoon-fed by someone else. Maybe when we're the one that's doing the feeding to someone else, it makes us prepare the meal a little bit differently, huh? It makes us dive into our faith a little bit differently when we have to prepare it for other people. So yes, speaking our faith helps us grapple with the faith at a whole different direction. Audrey?
Someone in our group had a good point about gratitude, giving thanks to God and showing you were grateful for, by the end of the year, you'd have over 1,000 things. So I think even just taking the time to say what you're grateful for and to talk to God, to write those three things down every day, that can be a way of praying and just showing him how grateful you are.
Group number two thinks Thanksgiving isn't over. Can you believe that? They think gratitude should be something we should be doing year-round, and how that helps us and makes us aware of some things that help us in this journey of life. So good. Thank you, groups. Thank you. You ready for the most biggest stretch of faith for this next question? We are in small groups. We are going to pray for one another in this group. Now, when I say this, the anxiety level already goes up there. We know we should be praying, but to pray out loud in a group, that's different here. You can do this however you guys deem in your small groups, but we're going to close in this way. So this is the last one. Mic drop from here on out. But take a moment in your group to pray for one another in that group, or some of the things that were shared in that group, to journey us closer to God. With this said, Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer that starts with, "Our Father who art in heaven." The prime audience for prayer is not our brother who art on earth. Sometimes that's what trips us up most in prayer, right? We worry if we're not good at it, what does our brother or sister that's sitting next to us think? And we forget the direction of prayer is to seek our Father who art in heaven, not who might be listening, brother or sister on earth. So we don't pray to impress one another. We pray to talk to God, and God is a Father who genuinely loves us, which means this. Those of you that have small children and small children's learning how to talk, do you like chide them for babbling? Like, "You dummy, all you can say is dad, 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 dad." Do we chide them as parents? No, we are giddy and grateful for even beginning to go in this direction. This is how your Father in heaven is when you talk to him. He's not looking and scowling and saying, "Oh, you got that word wrong," or "You didn't say that clear enough," right? Our Father who art in heaven loves to hear from his children and has given us this portal called prayer, where there's never a dropped call. He always cares. He's always concerning. He might not always do the things you want him to do it. Parents, you don't do everything your child wants you to do, correct? Like sometimes there's wisdom in that. But this is who we're approaching in this attitude of prayer. And so I want you to close out 2024 in your groups by praying to one another. It can be popcorn style. It can be one designated prayer. It can be going around the circle. We'll let you decide in your group. Prayer matters in our walk in relationship with God, and it's a prime discipline that God deepens us in this journey together. And so this is a safe place to do that. Brothers and sisters that are encouraging you along in this journey, not saying, "That big dummy, why did he even try?" Don't say that, Steve, okay? So let's pray in our groups. The service will be concluded from there. We always want to leave this place going following Jesus. Kiddos, I will add too, there's a lot of mobility issues and stuff like that. It's a small room with a lot of different people. We can't be running around and stuff like that in this space after the service. The fellowship hall will be open afterwards. If your parent or guardian goes with you, you can continue to mingle and talk in that direction. But for safety's sake, let's keep this space from a run-free environment. And you can spend half the afternoon here, okay? The fellowship doesn't end just because the prayer ends. By all means, keep talking and shove some pastries down your pockets for the road if there are some left there. Concluding your times with a word of prayer in your group, though.